Cross-disciplinary efforts, such as the one I direct at the Earth Institute at Columbia University, are promising ways to recast the conventional disciplinary lines so that the expertise of the university can be harnessed on complex interdisciplinary challenges. In 1993, the father of the Green Revolution, Nobel laureate Norman Borlaug, summarized beautifully the case for such a multidisciplinary science-based unit. It seems to me that as our science becomes more specialized, each of us is inclined to give more emphasis to our own specialty, our own discipline. This creates great difficulties when we are trying to transmit the global picture of the impact of science and technology, not just on one discipline, but on all of them, including economics, for the benefit of the policymaker, so that he can gather the true essence of what we are talking about, in many different languages, as it were. What it seems to imply, and I say this having worked in many different countries, is that we need to encourage a certain attitude among our young scientists, that while some of them stay with their own specialty or discipline, some others among them should work in an integrated way across disciplines. Their voice would be the one most likely to be heard, with the least confusion, by the policymakers in government. I do not know how we can encourage this, but I see a real need for it, and I think the unique opportunity of working in many countries of the world has brought that home to me. In the case of the Earth Institute, the leadership of Columbia University has made a strong, multi-year commitment of financial support that enables the complex, cross-disciplinary activities to gain a foothold inside the university and around the world. Several universities, including Yale, Duke, Berkeley, Stanford, and Harvard, are experimenting now with similar cross-disciplinary efforts in sustainable development and global health. The sinews of global society. Non-governmental organizations, including academic institutions, fill multiple roles that markets and governments cannot. NGOs can be socially entrepreneurial, while governments are cautious and bureaucratic. Academic institutions harness cutting-edge science and technology in ways that government cannot. Just as important, non-governmental organizations form the sinews, the connective tissue of our new global society. Market forces are anonymous. Government interactions are formal and diplomatic, or even overtly hostile. Non-government groups put faces to names by deepening the person-to-person connections that must undergird global trust and cooperation. A good example is the world of science. With few exceptions, scientific organizations and their membership work easily across cultures and across political divides. Physicists or biologists or ecologists speak the same language across ethnic, racial, and religious lines. Scientific academies can easily work together on scientific projects, and indeed, have come together now in a worldwide network of 94 national science academies as the new Inter-Academy Council, headquartered in the Royal Academy of Arts and Sciences of the Netherlands in Amsterdam. The IAC is designed to provide sound scientific advice to international organizations and the United Nations. An early influential report by the IAC was on prospects for improved agricultural productivity in Africa. The report has contributed to the current efforts to achieve a new African Green Revolution. At a time when our governments are far too prone to using threats, sanctions, and war in response to problems of instability, non-governmental contacts across countries and cultures become ever more important as builders of trust, understanding, and a common global ethic. The global links that scientists make regularly should also be encouraged in countless other human endeavors. Artists, athletes, jurists, doctors, and engineers all speak their own distinct languages that bridge cultural divides. Sports events such as the World Cup and the Olympics play a vital role in forging global linkages, even though such events are from time to time hijacked for narrower political purposes. Global concerts, such as the Live 8 concerts, which were staged simultaneously in many parts of the world at the time of the 2005 G8 summit, and the Live Earth concerts in July 2007 to promote action on climate change, can have a similar effect. Communications technology makes possible seamless linkages that were unimaginable just a few years ago. The concerts were not only simultaneously presented on television and the internet, but they were mutually broadcast between the various concert sites. It was a worldwide gathering, not merely a simultaneous broadcast of distinct events. Creative educators are increasingly forging global classrooms in which lectures and scientific symposia link multiple sites around the world through live video conferencing. Group meetings by Skype or other digital platforms can meld together teams in dozens of countries. Social networking tools such as MySpace and Facebook are becoming crucial tools for cross-cultural contacts and group mobilization as well. These social networking tools, which connect tens of millions of individuals in online networks of friends, hobbyists, fans, and bloggers, are now turning to mobilization for social causes. Online social networking allows friends to know who is participating in what causes, to give social approbation for such participation, and to facilitate linkages of the network of friends with particular social service organizations. These tools will allow people with shared interests and commitments to organize at vastly lower transaction costs than in the past, and to use gentle social cues to promote participation and avoid free riding.